Lamedvav, who starts the Kiddus on mourning and the Mechias on the lack of the loss of beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The beauty of Eretz Yisrael is the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. And before we start that, it's probably necessary to speak a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. I was trying to visualize what it must have been like to be one of the survivors of the destruction of Bayis Rishon or Bayis Sheni. I was remembering when anyone who was at Salt, if they did the tunnel tours, they now with the excavations, they actually have some like remnants of like burnt houses from the Churban. Trying to imagine what it must have been like walking on the way to Babel, leaving and seeing mamash the Beis HaMikdash, the Tiferes HaKlaisol, the pinnacle of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klaisol. They say that the Har Moriah, which is where the Beis HaMikdash is on, is like two shoulders. It slopes up the sides of the mountains, are like two shoulders, and the Beis HaMikdash was like a neck. And I saw there was a medrash that said the Beis HaMikdash was a neck, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the head, and that's like that short the ikar chibur between Klaisol and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I try to imagine being just like walking all the way to Babel, realizing that everybody just lost their homes, everybody just lost their entire livelihood, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's just you're incapable of mourning that much in that amount of time. There's so much loss, and it's almost impossible to comprehend that amount of loss. You just don't even know what to begin mourning for. You mourn the Beis HaMikdash, you know, your family was destroyed, your home, everything. And now on top of that, there's this big Babylonian or Roman flag, you know, where the Beis HaMikdash was, and you know that you're going, and this that's it. You have nothing left. All you have is that you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I was also trying to imagine what it must have been like in the Holocaust, as like some of these buildings where they had the factories, and like the Germans would come in and they would just march and they would take away the factories, everybody would be kicked out, or when they would walk into the shtetl, everybody would be kicked out. And well, you know, in by next week, Germans are going to be living in your homes, your business is taken over, you had a thriving business, everything is destroyed, your kids are being thrown against, just tremendous, also just tremendous amount of destruction, impossible to comprehend what they must have been feeling like. Just yeshivas, hearing of Chaim Stein, when Telz was destroyed, the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz got up and he said that the yeshiva is being destroyed, but he re-evoked the kin of Bezi, says, but the words are being perfus ba'aber, the words of the Torah of Telz is flying in the air and it's going to rediscover itself one day. Just the amount of destruction and the amount of loss. And then I was also trying to think about Eretz Yisrael now, how so many Yidden, thousands and thousands and thousands of Yidden, just to try, thousand yen is so easy to say thousands, especially since we've heard millions, but Waterbury, Connecticut is, let's say, 80 families. So then tens and tens and tens of Waterbury, Connecticut in Eretz Yisrael, which are Yidden, who are from Yidden, who are Shoyim Torah Mitzvahs, moved out there idealistically, wanting to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be the kind of mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, the same way the Gura in his last voyage wanted to go to live in Eretz Yisrael, the same way thousands and thousands of Yidden, before Eretz Yisrael was ever populated, before Yishev Eretz Yisrael was a dream, they would literally go there because there was so much starvation in Eretz Yisrael, they would go there to die there. History books will tell you that the Gedolim would go there because they knew they were carved in the Misa. They would go just to die in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what these Yidden were doing. They were going to live in Eretz Yisrael to try to be a kind of dream, a mitzvah, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now the lack of Kavod Shemayim, that a secular government is going to be taking these Yidden out of their homes, and these Yidden are going to be living, watching their homes just, and then on in the same light that knowing that in a week later, Pashan Arabs, who their sole mission is to kill Chayisol, is to kill them, is going to be living in their homes. The amount of tremendous, tremendous loss. And I was thinking, like, of being in America, how in one way, how fortunate we are that we don't have to deal with that. We have to get up, go to yeshiva, go to work, go to college, whatever you want to do, with nothing really impeding on your success. And then I remembered the Gemara Ksuvos. I think it's very, very appropriate. And the Gemara Ksuvos speaks about how Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking after the Churban, and he was riding on a donkey, and he saw this Riba Achas, this young girl, and she was trying to get some barley between the dung of behemoths. And Yochanan and Zakkai said, "Who are you?" And he said, and she said, "I'm the daughter of Nadim Ben Gurion." Nadim Ben Gurion was one of the three wealthy people who took it upon themselves, who had enough money to feed Yerushalayim when it was besieged for 21 years. And Nadim Ben Gurion was the richest of the three. He was the wealthiest. He was the Gavir of Faisal, the wealthiest person. And she was trying to get a piece of barley stuck in between dungs. And they said, "But what happened to your father's money?" And she said, "It was destroyed." And she said, "Well, what happened to your father-in-law's money?" And she said, "It was bazed, even a zed. It all got destroyed together." And she said, "Amalei Revi." She said, "Rebbe, zechor ata kishechasamta aksilasi. Do you remember when you signed the maksuba?" Amalei Hem Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "Zechor ani kishechasamti aksivasi. I remember when I signed the maksuba." Shazu Bayisakara, but Elif Alafim Din Rezav, there was a million Din Rezav under the dunya. Mi Beis Aviyah. Chutz Mishal Chameh, besides what was from her father-in-law's house. Bachar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. These are two seemingly mutually exclusive emotions. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai cried and he said, "Amar Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you, Klal Yisrael. Bisman Sha'isim Yitzayin Yishal Makom, when you're doing a Kaddish Baruch Hu's will, in kol umla v'loshen shalatis ben, no one could be on top of you. Uvizman she'ein oisim etzoni shalmachim, but when you're not doing Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, moisim v'yad umma shvela, you're given over to an umma shvela, to a low nation, v'lo v'yad umma shvela, and not just in the hand of a low nation, el v'yad behemtet shal umma shvela." And the Marshay asks, "What's the Ashreichem Yisrael? I understand Ashreichem Yisrael, when you do the Ratzon Shalmachim, you can go so high. Ashreichem Yisrael, you could sing so low, what's Ashreichem Yisrael?" And the Marsha says, the fact that Klal Yisrael could go so high and so low is a symptom that the only thing guiding Klal Yisrael's existence in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other nationality, every other peoples has a mazel of it. The only one guiding Klal Yisrael's existence in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's because that when they do the Ratzon Shel Makom, they can go so high. But unfortunately, when they don't, they can sink so low. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was seeing the Musa, and seeing the unbelievable relationship that we have with Klal Yisrael. And any single time that anything happens to Klal Yisrael, any time of discomfort, the Rigmel always says that it says in Shabbat Tachin and Chavis Lavavis, that when a person doesn't have B'tachin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the thing that he has B'tachin in. If a person has B'tachin with his money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away his money. And I always thought, what is that, some type of game? Like, what is that? And Rigmel says, beautifully, is that it's a musa shmuz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a musa shmuz. If a person has a splinter in his nail, so the way you have to get out the splinter is you push on the sides of the nail, which is excruciatingly painful, but the only way to get out the splinter is if you do that in order for the refuah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person has betachin in money, he's a chayla. He doesn't realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running in life. So he pushes down hard on the person, right on the sides of the, right on the money, so that a person could extract that krumah hashkafah that seeped into him in order to be cured. And anything, everything is a musa shmuz from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in Tzisov right now, there's a massive musa shmuz. Eretz Tzisov, they say in Aftar, it's a pasuk, Lysaki Arz Hasef, we don't do a mitzvah properly. The Ramban says, why is the Dvarim, the whole same Dvarim, it's a prerequisite to go on Eretz Tzisov. Moshe Rabbeinu warns clients over and over again, these are the mitzvahs, these are the days, these are the losays, this is what your job in the world, if you don't do it, you're not going to be zerichat Eretz Tzisov. It's a musa shmuz from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I was thinking a little bit, unfortunately, that we can't get, imagine the people in Israel right now, imagine the people in Gush Katif, imagine the people in Eitz Harim, imagine the people in Yerushalayim, in Beit Shemesh, in the Shomron, who mamish their neighbors, they're so close to, they could drive a half hour and go and be in Gush Katif and see the tremendous amount of tanks set up, ready to extract the din out of their homes. Imagine the Shemina Esrays of these people. Imagine when they sit and they daven, how much they must be screaming out that Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Imagine the terror of these people, how intense it must be, knowing that all they have is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How Kodesh Baruch Hu is pressing down, mamash where it hurts, and they're screaming, please Hashem. And how we get that Musa Shmuz from listening to some anchor man, Kurama Hashkafa, what's going on in this world. We don't get that Musa Shmuz directly from the source. We only get that Masa Shmuz a little bit. And as people pointed out, how much do we feel? How much do we even feel? And the only way to tap into that Moshe Shmuz is to mamash, put ourselves in, and be in, and after with the tzar about mamash our brothers, Kodesh Shmuz, and our brothers in Klai Yisrael, the only way to tap into it is to mamash feel like it's happening to us, and to realize not just feel like it's happening to us, it actually is happening to us. It's the Moshe Shmuz, the same to them, it's the same to us. It's our Moshe Shmuz. The Moshe Shmuz is what everyone spoke about today, is about understanding the importance of Torah, as Rabbi said, Sonnenschein and Rabbi Kestner and Maristin, Sinas Chinam, you know, it says that the basic English was destroyed because of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. But what did Bar Kamsa do? He was the person who wasn't at this party. I hope I'm not mixing them up. Only one of them is at the party. He was mistaken for the other person. What did the other guy do? What did he do? He didn't do anything. And the Maharal says that it wasn't a fact. That guy wouldn't have hated Kamsa so much had not been the fact that Bar Kamsa would have been Isaac and Lashon Hara Bar Kamsa. Sinas Chinam is that there's no one exempt from it. It's a plague. It affects everyone. It doesn't make a difference. There's no such thing as Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam applies because somewhere along the line something's going on. And therefore, it's mamash, when we read about the destruction and the lack of tefillah itself, we have to realize how much it applies to us. And to tap into it, because that's the only way we're going to be able to get this. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to get us to do. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Moshe Shmuz. Pasha Guruza, everyone to listen. Okay, see you on the other
Yeah, this is how we're going to do it.